Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. All right, this one comes in from Joseph, who asks, Mark, I've been very impressed by Kareem Jackson. Is he somebody the Broncos need to keep long term? And before you answer that, funny enough, Justin Simmons was talking yesterday about Kareem Jackson and the impact he's made on Simmons. Here it is.
Yeah, in my opinion, yeah. A guy like him that's been around, was this year 12 for him? 13? 12. I think the guy that's been around, seen that much football, and to still be able to make plays the way he is and come downhill and hit the way that he hits, I think you can only go off tape, right? And I think every year you've seen him here, my opinion, just progressing each year. And so, yeah, I talk about some of the reasons I've had success in my career, and he's a big part of that. You know, being able to play with someone like him and asking him, you know, how he's able to adjust, how he's able to do things like this. And it's a blessing being able to work with him. And so, in my opinion, yeah, I think he's progressing.
So since we're only two games into the season, we're already talking about whether or not they should extend Teddy Bridgewater, should extend Von Miller. What about Kareem Jackson?
Yeah, well, obviously, I mean, you know, at 12 years, you're always looking to get younger there at that position. But, Mike, I'm telling you, I told you this last year, and I'll tell it to you again right now through two games. I think he's your best defensive player. I really do. I mean, his ability, and it's different than what they're asking, Justin Simmons to do. You know, Justin Simmons, when you look at the Broncos, they're fairly unique when it comes to tape study in that Justin Simmons always plays on the right side of the offense, the left side of the defense, and Kareem is always on the opposite side. So they don't flip-flop. So most from a rotational standpoint, when you're talking safeties, most guys have the ability nowadays, not in my day, but nowadays, to flip-flop. One's the free, depending on what's the formation, one's the strong. And then they flip-flop that. You know, they'll just change it. Not so much with the Broncos. They want Justin Simmons to be the free. And they want to rotate down most of the time weak. But from my perspective on film, the guy who flashes, and a lot of times when I'm studying defenses, Mike, you know, I'm looking kind of what front you're in. Are you playing a post safety, you know, a single high safety? You playing two high safety? And then from that, I'm looking at who flashes. You know, I'm trying to say, hey, what coverage are they in? Are they in a man or a zone? What type is it? And then I'm just looking at who flashes, who's making plays. And inevitably, the player that is rewindable in the most moments is Kareem Jackson. He's the guy that flashes. And I'm talking about they'll split their safeties. They'll have split safeties all the time. They'll show you that. You know, and they're going to rotate down late because Fangio calling the defense, wants you to think, all right, we're in too high or whatever. But we're going to rotate down. And I can't tell you how many times they snap the ball and it's a running play. And by the time the running back hits the line of scrimmage, Kareem Jackson's there hitting him and he's coming from 12 yard deeps with just nasty intentions. And it happens like you go, holy Moses, rewind that. You know, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm talking to myself, but, he's the guy that flashes for me. Probably more than anybody else on this defense. And it's consistent. It's not one game. It's every single game. That said, at 12 years, you're always trying to get younger. You're always trying to get less expensive. You know, you're always trying to see where you can have a guy that can do that, that doesn't cost you as much money. But, if he keeps toward the end of the season playing this, you know, playing at this level, why not? I'm not saying long term.
Right.
Why not sign another 1 year deal? Absolutely.
Because he understands, right? I mean, he knows the business of the NFL that he's probably going to have to go year to year. And as long as the Broncos are fair with him, why wouldn't he want to be here?
Right. Especially with what they're building. You know, they're building something that looks like it has the potential to be special. And so why wouldn't you want to do it here? I mean, you know, how many guys end up playing here? Peyton Manning's the biggest case in point. end up playing here and saying, you know what? This is a pretty damn good place to live. And I'm just going to finish out my career here. And then, you know, whatever happens, happens. But we like it here. And, you know, and if you can do that, why wouldn't you do that? I think that makes a ton of sense. And like I said, the dude is a great, I mean, not a good player, a great player.
Well, how much, here's a little wrinkle for you. How much of his wanting to stay here would be tied to Vic Fangio still being here? And it's funny, for all the criticism, debate back and forth about Vic as a head coach, there's no doubt there's a lot of respect, admiration for what this guy does as a defensive mind. So if this season doesn't end up going the way that it has started and the Broncos end up making some kind of move at the head coaching position, could you see some of these veteran defensive players say, you know, say whatever you will about Vic as a head coach, I really liked him as my DC, and if he's gone, I don't know if I look at the situation the same anymore.
Yeah, well, there's always that. You know, you're always thinking about where you fit. I mean, I think Kareem fits pretty much anywhere because he's a great football player. But, you know, some places are better for you than others. And you know, I mean, I wouldn't even go to Kyle Fuller. Like, Kyle Fuller had his best years under Vic.
Callahan.
Right, and it wasn't as good without Vic. And so, you know, maybe there is something to that, Mike. If Vic gets fired, you say, hey, wait till he gets a defense coordinator job, if that's what he's still going to do, and we'll go in that direction. Or, you know, or follow Ed Donatell, who is the, you know, quote-unquote, you know, defense coordinator, but he also has, you know, been a DB coach his whole life, pretty much. So, you know, I think that's something worth, you know, keeping an eye on. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned it, Bryce Callahan, Fuller, Kareem Jackson has certainly played, you know, a great football at a very high level. So that's, I mean, yeah, I can see that. But it is, he knows. I mean, he understands. Heck, nobody understands the business of the business of football better than him, because, you know, he was forced to, hey, we'll see you later, goodbye, and then re-sign him at a lesser fee, you know, this offseason. So, I get it. And I think he understands it as well.
One of the more interesting little tidbits that came out of the broadcast last week, the Broncos-Jags game, and we'll hear more from Jay Feely, was him saying how the Vic Fangio defense is one that is being studied, copied, emulated around the NFL, much the same way that we talk about a Sean McVay offense or a Kyle Shanahan offense, that the Vic Fangio defense is one that is getting that kind of look, that kind of respect. And, well, I guess you could even go back to when the Rams lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl and that high-flying Rams offense was shut down. One of the games that they struggled during their season was against Fangio's Bears, and Bill Belichick hasn't really hidden the fact that they used a lot of Fangio's blueprint, Fangio's defense with Chicago, in that Super Bowl. So have you heard that in your travels when the conversation swings around to the Broncos and Vic Fangio? And if there is a Vic Fangio defense, what is it?
I think that's a great question. I think what ends up happening is it's how you game plan, how you play things, right? How you play different techniques, what you end up doing to slow certain players down. And I think that's more than, hey, they play a, you know, a 3-4 front, but they slide it and make it, you know, right, a over under front, you know. I mean,
Buddy Ryan, 46 defense, right?
Right. It is one, you know, in Chicago, the blueprint is, hey, we got really good players and we're going to shut down your running game. And then one thing I will say about Vic on a consistent basis, like, I think the really good coordinators do a really good job of gap control defense. Their players play their leverage points. They play their gaps exceptionally well. Everybody is tied together on who's filling what, who's got what gap. And they don't get knocked out of those things. You know, they don't go by those things. They play a disciplined style of football. And, you know, like I said, there's a lot of, You know, Vic will play in a day and age where most teams are probably in a single high safety. Mike, I don't know. Let's just call it, if it's a passing league and it's 65%, you're getting a lot of, you're getting 65% single high safety, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to stop the run with the 8-man front. And then you're playing a zone behind it, kind of a matchup zone or a man to man, man free behind it. And that holds true when you watch film. That's like, I'm watching a bunch of New England stuff, obviously, because they've got the New England game. You'd be shocked how much man-to-man coverage New England plays. Like, Bill Belichick's a believer in playing man-to-man in critical situations, and then only changing it up every now and again. You know, a third down and long situation, they may play two chains. Vic will play a lot more two high safety looks in kind of quarters, quarter, half. It's just a departure, and the reason he can do it is because he gets such good production out of just playing 7-man fronts and stopping the run. And so, you know, I don't know that there's any, I don't know that I haven't heard what Jay heard about copying Vic's defense per se, but the studying of how he wants things played, that's a different story. And I think one of the things that's interesting, and I was talking to the Eagles, this was Nick Sirianni that I was talking to last week, who said, you know, we all copy, we all steal from each other, right? We all steal, hey, this play is really good, let's execute it. But he goes, you really have to look at the core of the play and then say, do we have the player that can play that technique? Do we have the player that can run that particular route or is good at that? And he goes, so a lot of times teams will steal a play and say, this is great, we're going to put it in. But they may not be really familiar with the coaching of that play, don't really understand the pitfalls of that play, don't really understand how to exploit a team with that play, and ultimately don't have the players that have the skill set to execute that play. And he was talking about the difference between his two tight ends, who are both really good players, Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. And he goes, two entirely different skill sets. Both really, really good players. But one guy does, you know, one guy runs the middle of the field really well, is really good in and out of breaks. That's Zach Ertz. He's really good at getting away from man coverage, really good at breaking a defense down, finding soft spots in zones, where Goddard's a much better blocker, and he's much better, like, straight line running corners and things of that nature. So it's funny, because when you think about it, you're like, hey, we got two first-round tight ends that are both really – I think Ertz was a first-rounder. I know Goddard was. But two really good tight ends that are Pro Bowl-type caliber tight ends. But one guy really runs these routes well. One guy really runs these guys routes well. One guy's a really good inline wide blocker. You know, that's Goddard's more of a wide tight end. And the other guy's an F. And he goes, and you got to use them. You got to use them accordingly. And all of a sudden, if you think you're going to, you know, have – Dallas Goedert breaking down people in the middle of the football field, that's not what he's best at. And so those are interesting things. So you got to do a good job parsing what you want to take from other teams if you don't have the players to execute it.
You know, I probably shouldn't help you out after yesterday. You got me on a real bogus, chintzy.
No. It was a good oh, really. It was
oh,
a
really?
Classic.
So I don't know why
championship.
I should be helping you, but Dallas Goedert was a second round pick, and Zach Ertz was a second round pick. So neither one of them were first round picks.
Okay.
You were wrong.
Yeah. No, whatever. You know, I don't care about the draft. Both really good players.
I was rooting.
Yeah, you know, I'll fully admit that I was wrong and that I don't care about the draft.
All right. Well, that's a very, very, very hollow victory for me then. As far as the idea of a Fangio blueprint, I'm all for buying into it. I think that sounds cool, right? You know, the Broncos coach is somebody. He's got a blueprint that defense that other coaches and coordinators are copying and trying to study and use for their own benefit. But then you got Justin Simmons talking, Warren Simmons here, talking about when Vic Fangio decides to blitz and what kind of goes into the thought process behind blitzing, and keep this in mind as you're listening to Simmons, the Broncos opposing quarterbacks for the first 2 weeks, again, small sample size, but first 2 weeks, when the Broncos blitz, quarterbacks have a zero quarterback rating. So clearly they're doing something well when they blitz, although Simmons admits, never know when or why.
Yeah, it's exactly that. You just never know. It's so, yeah, in my opinion, like unorthodox. There's really no rhythm. He has his own rhythm in his head, but, you know, for a lot of people, it doesn't necessarily make sense. But I think that's why, you know, I remember we had a question about this maybe last week or the week prior about, you know, defenses kind of breaking off and getting some of their schemes from this one. And, you know, you can have all the schemes you want from it, but it's different when you have someone, you know, at the helm kind of running it. And Vic's obviously been doing this a long time, knows what he's doing. And every week, you know, I feel like I'm learning something new, which is a good thing. And so I love being able to work with him. I feel like I'm learning so much. Obviously with him, Kareem, Kyle, I can name, you know, the whole defensive back group. But yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, Kareem Jackson talked about that prior to the game against Jacksonville, where he says that he looks forward to coming in every Wednesday because there's something in the defensive game plan that in many cases he's never seen before.
Right. Yeah. And that, I mean, that is cool. And that's, you know, we used to talk about this all the time in our offensive line meetings is, you know, Alex Gibbs would always say, one of my biggest jobs, one of my number one jobs is to keep you guys from getting bored. Right. And sometimes it's just nuanced. It's technique. It's like, let's look and study this, like whatever it is. Right. And that's where we got so involved in understanding rotations on the back end, like who's going to come down, who's going to be the run support player, right? And studying kind of way the defense rotates and then how that affects the linebackers, you know, where the linebackers move. Do they boss over, meaning backers over strong? You know, do they do it weak? Do they like, and you start to pick up on the little nuanced aspects of football. From your perspective as an offensive lineman, you see what the defense is doing, and then it tips you on to, you know, what potential blitz is coming. But what Justin Simmons said just confirmed what Nick Sirianni told me last week, right? He's like, there is no rhyme, no reason. There are some things that he's telling you and coaching you every week that are a little bit different, and those are the nuanced levels of football that the great players really understand. You know, the difference between good to great, they understand nuance. They understand they've got a feel for the game. You know, we always talk about guys who are smart football players, you guys that play from the neck up. When you have that kind of understanding, you know, that's big. And then he said, if you listen to it, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, you know, people steal stuff all the time. But if you don't understand the why and the how and the reasoning, you can take it if you want, but every week we're getting a little something different, a little something that's a wrinkle, right? And that's what sets to me the great coaches apart from just the guys that say, hey, here's what we're doing, this is what we're going to execute. When you become part of it as a player, and when it becomes bigger than just, hey, we put a new scheme in, or hey, we're coaching up this scheme, when it becomes when there's ownership taken, like we own this. From a player's perspective, man, it's amazing how good you can get, right?
Right.
And that's what I hear.
Okay, but I'm going to freely admit to some confusion here. Not the first time in my life. But So when you talk about the need for teams to have, you know, an identity, and this is what we know we are, what we can do, mm-hmm. and we basically go out and do it every week versus the idea of what Simmons is talking about. Boy, what I love about playing with Fangio is that, you know, things are different every week. Alex Gibbs told you the need to be able to keep things different. You're getting ready to go call New England this week. And one thing that is famous about Belichick and I guess McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, is that, you know, you really can't study past games with them because every single week it's a different game plan. So here's my confusion. What are you aiming for then? As a team, do you want that steady consistency? This is what we are. This is what we do. It's no secret to us. It's no secret to anybody else. Or do you want to be more unpredictable, even if it's at the risk of losing maybe a little bit of that steady identity?
Right. So you have to have an identity of to me what you are. This is what we believe in, right? Now, there are many ways to get there, Mike. Now, I like to have a staple of plays that say this is what we base out of. Like, this is at our core, this is who we are at our base. Some of that is philosophy of what we do. Some of that is here's what we execute well. New England is a bit unique in that, you know, when it comes to what is our identity in the run, for instance. You know, I knew what we were. I know what San Francisco is, but I also know they have some volume to it, right? They've changed it. So
they're voluminous.
So I will give you this. I did, I've been breaking down New England. I've been breaking down New Orleans. New England had six explosive 6 yard plus runs. Explosive is usually like a 10 yard run, but I go down to six when I'm studying because those are the runs that you're going to hang your hat on, right? Anything that's six plus, that's a really good hard nosed, you know, big time run. They had six last week, week two against the Jets defense. You know what the number one volume run was at in those six plays?
8 yards?
No, I mean, every one of them was 6 yards, 6 yards plus.
Okay.
They could have been longer. But in those, what I'm trying to say, and I'm not saying it right, but in those six runs, one of them was a lead, one of them was a trap.
Oh, okay, right.
One of them was a power. One of them was a gap concept, one of them was a reverse, and one was a wham. So their six top runs last week came from six distinctly different concepts. Like that, you don't see that very often, right? And now understand that New England has been playing the same system mm-hmm. for 20 years, right?
Right.
So it's not like it's different. So you come into the New England system, let's say, you know, your turnover is one or two guys on the offensive side, three guys. So it's not like, you know, all 11 are learning a new system. It's two or three guys that are learning a new system. And by the way, they're sandwiched between two other guys up front that have been in it for 5 or 6 years. And so they're developing young players that way to say, hey, our system is to attack the weaknesses of the other team. Joe Judge is trying to do that with the New York Giants, and it's an abject disaster. Why? Because he's got 11 new guys all the mm-hmm. time, right? And so there's a difference there. But philosophically, I know what New England is going to be. You know, they're going to be multiple, and they're going to attack. You know, they're going to attack whatever your perceived weakness is. That's what they do. On the flip side, you look at them defensively, Mike. And I will tell you, like, there's no one guy that I would look at and go, oh my gosh, that dude is like a Von Miller. They do not have a guy where you say, if we get into a one-on-one situation, we're screwed. Like, you can't go into a game plan going, we're going to block our guy one-on-one with Von Miller all day long. Cause you're going to lose. They don't have that guy. Matt Judon is a good, really good player. He's not that guy. You know, Lawrence Guy is not that guy. They don't have that guy. What they do is they get you with confusion, and they get you with multiplicity of players, meaning their players, they have four different linebackers on the field at times, and each one of those guys can play D-end, each one of those guys can play inside linebacker, and each one of those guys can play outside linebacker. And so when it comes to Judon, or when it comes to Hightower, or when it comes to Winovich, or when it comes to any of those guys, they can play any position. They're positionless players. It makes it really hard. Let me just tell you, as an offensive player, I want to rule who's our four downs and who's our Mike, right? I want to know. And pre-snap, it's almost impossible. They get pressure based on your confusion. That's what they do, and they do it. And they do, in my mind, they do it better than anybody else just watching.
All right, so real quick then, outside of Vaughn, would you say the Broncos and the Fangio defense is built along similar lines? Multiplicity, confusion, that type of thing, or is it something completely different?
No, I don't think there's a lot of confusion. You know you're getting Vaughn and Bradley Chubb rushing off the edge. I mean,
but you don't have Chubb. And like I just said, take Vaughn out of the equation.
Right.
But I guess you can't.
I'm just saying, you're getting those edge rushers. What Vic does really well to me is he doesn't bring as much pressure or he doesn't bring as much confusion. What he does is finds ways to get his guys one on one based on knowing, like, he understands where the slide's coming from. He understands what he understands is he's got a great in-depth knowledge of what the offense is going to try to do to block them up. And so he finds a way to say, okay, this is the way they're going to go on this particular look because this is what they've done. So I'm going to get a pressure from the opposite side, or I'm going to find a way to walk somebody up and get one-on-ones across the board on the opposite side because I know, would be on a shadow of a doubt, they're going to slide this way. And then my guys, is it Shelby Harris? Is it Draymond Jones? Is it Von Miller? My guys have to be able to win their one-on-ones.
Interesting. So, I mean, two of the best, if not the best defensive minds in the game, Belichick and Vic Fangio, and just kind of the similarities, but also some of the real stark differences between the two. Very, very interesting. All right, coming up next, Jay Feely, who called the Broncos' win over Jacksonville and will be calling this week's game against the Jets. We'll hear his thoughts on this Broncos team. Are they a surprise? Is this thing sustainable? We'll talk to Jay Feely next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Got really good stuff from Jay Feely, who called the Broncos-Jaguars game last week and is right back on the call this week for Broncos-Jets. And he was the one who, if you were watching the broadcast closely, brought up the idea that the Vic Fangio defense is one that is being copied. The Vic Fangio defense has got its coaching tree now out there in the NFL, and Mark asked Jay in his meetings with the Broncos and Vic Fangio what he learned.
Well, Stig, I did Brandon Staley and the Chargers week one, and Brandon was obviously with Vic in Chicago, and he takes it to the Rams, and they're the best defense in the league last year, and now he takes over the Chargers. And then you see this starting to trickle around, and kind of what I said was just, there was this offensive revolution around Shanahan and his coaching tree and the guys that spread out. And now there's almost this defensive evolution, because Shanahan was in response to Pete Carroll and his kind of defensive dominance with what he was doing with his cover three system. And then now you got Brandon Staley and Joe Barry and Sean Desai and obviously Vic and what they're doing, which is in response to basically these offenses and what they were able to do successfully. And I just love his defense. I mean, I think it's sound. It's easy to replicate when you have really good safeties like the Broncos do with Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons. That allows you to be so diverse and allows you to change everything up, especially for young quarterbacks. When you change that picture after the snap for those young quarterbacks, and you saw it with Trevor Lawrence, it's hard. And they end up being late. And one of Trevor Lawrence's interceptions, he had the right receiver. He was just late on the throw because the picture changes and he's going through his progressions a little slow and he sees it. And he throws it, and he throws an interception. I think that's what they do so well.
You know, we've talked it here at ad nauseum about how good this defense has the potential of being and how good this secondary has the potential of being. Now, they're down one corner in Ronald Darby. They'll get him back eventually with a hamstring. He went on IR. But when you studied them and when you watched them, how good do you think this defensive secondary, this defense and this defensive secondary can be?
Yeah, I think, losing Bradley Chubb hurt, obviously, because when you have him and Von Miller coming off the edges, that just makes the secondary even better. you know, they work in conjunction together. But they're deep. I mean, bringing in Kyle Fuller from Chicago, who knows this defense and understands how to play it, and then a Pat Surtain who played really well last week, and I liked it. It was his first opportunity to go in there and start, and the interception he made was excellent. You know, I mean, it's teaching tape. You know, he's running down the sideline, he gets his head around, he finds the ball, he makes a beautiful catch for an interception. And you know, they have so much depth with these guys, and then they got guys like, you know, Callahan, OJ Media, who's injured, and Darby, who's injured. I mean, there's the potential, I think, to be a top five defense for sure, if not one of the best defenses in the league. You know, especially if you can get Chubb back and get him out there, and they have depth up front, and I think they just do what they do really well is they make offenses frustrated, offensive coordinators and quarterbacks, because you have to be content to take the check down, you have to be content, you know, to run the ball for 3-4 yards and kind of slowly matriculate down the field. You know, and defense or offenses get frustrated with that.
Biz with Jay Feely, CBS's Jay Feely. He'll be working the Broncos-Jets game again this week. And, Jay, as you know, we've been a little bit quarterback-starved here in Denver. And so we're looking for signs, any signs that we can latch on to that would suggest that Teddy Bridgewater could end up being the guy. Do you see any yet?
I see a lot of signs. You know, I think what he does better than anything, though, is bring leadership to that locker room. You know, and I think that's been missing from that position. You know, because he galvanized. You listen to guys talk about him. You listen to Von Miller talk about him and Courtland Sutton and what they say. And the first thing they talk about is not his quarterback play. It's just what he brings in that locker room, the experience that he brings. You know, I think a guy, I think you can talk about this more than anybody, but when you get injured – and the game is taken away from you, even for a little while, and you're not sure if you're going to be able to get back out there and play again, you begin to appreciate it more. And I think that's where Teddy Bridgewater is right now in his career. You know, he wasn't sure if he'd ever get back to the spot where he was a starting quarterback and, you know, gets taken away from you. Now he's got a team again. He's playing well. This offense with Pat Shurmur, he understands it. He was with him in Minnesota. It's a good fit, and he's executed it really well.
Yeah, what do you see in this offense when you just kind of look at it on tape that needs to be better? Like for this team to get to that consistently, you know, scoring 28, scoring 30 points, what is it about this offense that you say, this is the one thing they need to do better to really get to be kind of almost upper echelon type offense?
Well, you watch it too. I'd love to hear your perspective, but I think red zone, they have to be better in the red zone when you get in there. The way that they're going to move this ball down the field and taking shots to Courtland Sutton was big in the last game, and they finally hit one in the second half. The ability to have big plays, but they hadn't had a lot of big plays. You know, they had been slowly kind of methodically driving down the field. And if you do that, it's great because you eat up a lot of clock. Right now, I think they have a 14-minute time of possession advantage, which is huge. That keeps your defense fresh, you know, but you have to be able to finish in the red zone when you do that because you are eating up that clock. And that's an area where they haven't been good in the past, the last couple of years, and they struggled a bit this year as well.
Jay, man, totally. I really appreciate you popping on, man. Thank you so much. I know you're in Arizona for getting up early for us. I truly appreciate that.
I just like the fact that you had to have a kicker on to come on and talk ball. That just makes me happy. Yeah, well, I know there's a part of you that just really hurts.
Oh yeah, that's right, Mark. Why don't you tell Jay what yes. you've told me about kickers?
Well, kickers are to be seen and not heard, but you have educated yourself and you know, and listen, Jay is one of the few players that for me there's a lot of kickers that are this way that really understand. They understand the game and they appreciate the game. And so, hey, I have no, you know, I
thought you
Jay.
Said they aren't football players.
Well, no, they're kickers, but like none of the coaches, hey, listen,
you know what I did? I would go around cause you know, I mean, Stink's right. Like you kick for 30 minutes and then you're done. And that's a two and a half hour practice and you don't have anything to do for the next 2 hours. And so I literally would walk around. I'd go watch Alex Gibbs coach the offensive line, you know, when I was in Atlanta. And I remember Alex Gibbs yelling and screaming at me at one practice because he was just pissed off that I was just over there standing watching him.
So Jay has educated himself, and that's what I appreciate more than anything about Jay. And he was a phenomenal kicker over the course of his career. And And anyhow, and I like listening to him. He's got good stuff. Makes me think. Jay, man, you're the best. Appreciate you. And by the way, how's your son playing golf, by the way? Jay is a great golfer. I know your son just hits bombs. How's he doing?
Just bombs. He always plays, you know, he's on football right now. They're in the middle of the season at ASU with Herm. But yeah, he hits it legit 350. Like, I mean, he hits it 60 yards past me. It's ridiculous. But he can't beat me, Stink. You know,
I know that's right.
You got to make him earn it. He still hasn't beaten me yet.
Yeah, it's kind of like when Mark and I play. He hits it further than I do, but I'm always the one standing victorious at the end. Thanks to Jay Feely. Coming up next, so in preparing to call the Patriots and Saints this week, Mark has had a chance to take a look at the Jets all week, and his assessment of whether or not this should be a name your score win for the Broncos, don't go there. Mark will tell you why. Coming up next, Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan. All right, last segment, last few minutes here of the show before you, Mark, get ready to get picked up because you don't go to the airport on your own.
No.
When you're traveling.
Kind of a big deal.
Right? I mean,
heavens no, Michael. Oh, my.
You're embarking on your journey where you don't know who's picking you up. You don't know where you're staying.
No.
You
no.
just get chauffeured around. You show up at an airport. You wait for somebody to hold up a sign that says,
"People know me.
Mark
yeah.
Schlereth, Mr. Schlereth, Stink, mm-hmm. whatever. Dr. Galakowicz," and away you
right.
go. So
I just look for the guy with the goofy hat
uh-huh.
and the nameplate that says Schlereth on it.
There it
I
is.
Have no idea where I'm flying. I know I'm flying into Boston today.
Yes.
I know that. Beyond that, I don't know what time I get picked up here at the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not exactly sure. Like, I have no idea when I get to Boston who's picking me up in Boston. And I have no idea what hotel I'm staying at. So the funny thing is often time, well, every week, the driver that I get picked up, whatever city I'm in, says, "So we're staying at the Ritz today, huh?" And I go, "I guess." I don't
basically
know.
You some guy could show up in a white panel van and you'd be like, "Doop doop doop, let's go. Where are we heading to?"
Yep. Yeah.
Taking you to the Ritz, Mr. Schlereth? I have no idea. And he's just like, "Oh,
I'm like,
so easy.
Sounds good to me." Wow. And then all of a sudden I'm in a shack in the woods somewhere. I go, "Wow, this Ritz has really let itself go. Well, thanks for the ride."
So yes, you're going into Boston today, tonight, and you'll be calling the Patriots and the Saints. But in your preparation for New England, you've had a chance to take a really long look at the Jets because the Patriots beat the Jets last week. And so I assume for all of us who are assuming this to be a cakewalk, you're here to validate it, huh? It's going to be a cakewalk for the Broncos?
No, I mean, the Broncos come in at like 11, 11.5 point favorites, Mike.
Yeah.
And oof, like, it's hard to double-digit win people. You know, you've done that, what, two weeks in a row? You've beat people by double digits. Listen, if the Jets' young quarterback, Zach Wilson, doesn't throw four picks in the first half last week, they're in this game. I mean, we talked about it yesterday. They have a top 10 defense. They really have some players, and I mentioned Shaq Lawson and Quinton Williams and CJ Mosley. They got some guys that can play. And one thing about Robert Saleh, he's going to keep it simple, stupid. You know, you're going to play your base matchup cover three all over the football field. You're going to have very few variations, but you're going to play it well. You're not going to make a lot of mistakes, right? That's what they pride themselves on. This is what we play. You know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that's what you're getting. You also know as a defender that if I play my techniques correctly, we're going to be okay. And it's like, it's more about hitting your spots as a defense. If you're dropping in zone, hitting your spots, making sure you pick up who you have to pick up and make sure you're tight on those guys. And it really is, you know, it really is one of those philosophical approaches to the game where this is what we do and this is how we're going to do it. But I will tell you, you know, Zach Wilson's an incredibly talented kid. His biggest problem is they make one mistake or they get down, and you know, he thinks he can throw a touchdown and get 14 points for it. You know, you can't. You can't make you can't throw everything into traffic. You can't make the spectacular. He's bypassing the mundane to get to the spectacular. He's the exact
opposite. Where have we heard that before?
Yeah. He's the exact opposite of Mac Jones. The exact opposite of Teddy Bridgewater, right? Let me wow you with this great throw. Oh, it got picked off. Yeah, but could you imagine if it didn't get picked off? It would have been awesome, right? And you're like, no, dude, it sucks. And that's where he is right now, is trying to do too much, trying to almost, Mike, he's playing hero ball and trying to almost validate his draft position by showing you how much arm talent I have. Arm talent, you know what arm talent entitles you to? You know, winning carny shows at the fair, right? Hey, you won the speed pitch. Wow. Here's your stuffed animal. It doesn't mean anything, right? You give it to your girlfriend, you're going to break up with her in 3 weeks anyhow because she's going to know you're a doink. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what it entitles you to.
A doink or a dink?
Either one. Doink or dink or whatever. Uh-huh. I was going to say a dick, but I just didn't do it.
Yeah. Why go there?
Yeah. So, but I'm telling you, this team can run the football. I mean, they can flat run the football.
Ran it for 152 yards, about 5 yards a carry last week against New England.
Against New England, who, you know, was sitting up there trying to stop it. They are classically San Francisco trained. Mike LaFleur, the brother of Matt LaFleur, is their offensive coordinator who came over from San Francisco, who's been classically trained under Kyle for years, Kyle Shanahan. And they really run the ball well. They really attack the edge in a wide zone well. Very much, you know, very much in the vein of San Francisco. They got a couple of blocking tight ends that will flat shorten your neck. 85, I don't even know what his name is, because I'm not doing their game. So I just know he's 85. And that dude is a monster. Just a monster on the edge or in like ISO type looks. And he's big time player when it comes to blocking. So, like, they've got a really sound, principled run game that's that they do a good job of creating variations off of.
But, I mean, so what I'm hearing then is you still believe the Broncos should win, but
Right. Anybody
who's expecting this to be a name your score cakewalk, you're saying, whoa, you know, slow down a little bit, right?
I'm just saying, hey, listen, when the Broncos win this game, they don't cover the spread, but they win by 10,
mm-hmm.
right? Don't start moping around like we've been for the last 2 weeks going, yeah, but it's only the Jets, and we didn't win by enough, and we didn't get style points. At the end of the year, when you tally up the wins and losses, there will not be an asterisk by any of the wins that said this one was great from a stylistic standpoint and you're going to get an extra half a game on it. It doesn't work that way. So let's not get tied up in the stylistic approach. Let's just watch the game and make sure the Broncos come out on top.
All right. Very quickly, safe trip to Boston. What time are you supposed to get in?
Fine. I'm supposed to get in this afternoon, like 6 o'clock.
So should have no problem actually getting a meal. No need to go scavenging down the hallway with room service that has been left outside. So
no
need for that.
But sometimes you can't pass like a good muffin that hasn't been touched or a good roll with a pat of butter.
Yeah.
You're going to waste a pat of butter.
Stop.
And by the way, a pat of butter, like a roll, is simply a vehicle to get butter into my system.
Good point.
That's all it's there.
Because just eating butter by itself would look a little piggish, but as long as there's a piece of bread with it, okay.
That's a trait I picked up from my mother. I will eat a pat of butter on its own.
That's disgusting.
Please stop.
Safe trip, my friend. We'll talk to you from Beantown tomorrow. In the meantime, we turn things over to Chad and Nate. Smooth as butter, both they are, next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.